Thank you, Patrick. Mark, choir, and as Patrick said, that could not have been more right on point as we turn to God's Word as given to us by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. As you read along in the bulletin, the first two lines are actually left over from last week unintentionally, so we can jump down to where Paul starts, just as the body. Just as the body has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized to one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will walk.
Sort of like the 6 o'clock news. The choir director tells us what the coming up sermon is going to be about. Come back and don't go anywhere because we're getting ready to be appointed. Well, we may need to try that again sometime. Thank you, Patrick. That's good. We were anointed last week. Remember that from Luke's gospel, the fourth chapter, where Jesus comes home to Nazareth, and when they give him, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, they give him the scroll, and he turns it in Isaiah to where he's able to read in his own words, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. And then he goes on to talk about what his role is going to be for the rest of his time on earth, to preach good news, to let the captive go free, to bring sight back to the blind, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then we notice that, well, the way that he was anointed just a few days, well, 40 days earlier, when he had gone under the waters of baptism with John the Baptist. And we have been baptized, and so we have been anointed so that we have all those things on our plate as well. The good news preached wherever it needs to be preached. Problem is, of course, that's a big responsibility. And we might think, well, okay, I've been anointed to do that, but how am I going to do all those? How am I going to preach so many different things, get it to all the people who need to hear it, make it come real out in the world? Well, luckily, it's not all up to us. At least, well, let me put it the other way. Not all of it is up to every single one of us. See, we know that when we are called by the Spirit and given tasks to do, those tasks are appropriate to each one of us. We've got a powerful way to think about that. In our Presbyterian tradition, our forebear John Calvin taught very strongly against the teachings of the medieval church that said that calling into a vocation was something that only happened to the priests and the monks and the nuns. No one else had a vocation. No one else got called. And Calvin said, whoa, wait just a minute. That's not right. God calls all of us, not just to the specific things that look churchy, but calls us to what it is we're going to do with our lives. Calls us to be shopkeepers and teachers and mechanics and, you know, all the different things that make up running the world well. So we already know from our own background that this anointing has some specificity to it. But I suspect that all of us, over the years and our experience, we have learned that there's even more to it than that. We've had times as we have found our way into the world of being part of the day-to-day work of the world, and into the world of being anointed to bring God's word to the whole world, we have found that the Spirit narrows things down pretty clearly to suit each one of us. So maybe you had an experience like one that happened to be a good while back. I had just started as a student in law school. Now the path from being a lawyer to being something else, that's a different story altogether. We aren't getting into that. But even within the context of being a lawyer, when I got to law school, I already knew that there were some things that I wanted to do and some things I didn't want to do. And what I really wanted to do was help people with whatever I learned in law school. And I got there, I found out that among lawyers, that's called being wanting to do public interest law. And I saw there's all these student groups on campus, and so there's one called the Public Interest Law Students Association. And I said, well, that's the one that I want to go to. I went to a couple of meetings, and I didn't fit in there at all. Because I found out, I mean, I liked what they wanted to do with their training and what they saw their careers, but they all saw themselves standing in front of the Supreme Court arguing test cases that were going to change the law for millions of people. They wanted to do good things. They wanted to change it in ways that I agreed with, but I didn't see that for me. I saw myself helping one needy person at a time. If they were wholesale, then I was retail, right down on the level. And that's how and then I quit going to those meetings because I didn't fit in. That's how I ended up working with the juvenile delinquents in family court, one person at a time. And I learned in that experience, this teaching, that when God finds a place for each of us in the world, it's a very, very specific place. So, you know, say if you feel like that God's vocation to you is to be a shopkeeper, well, that's very abstract. There are all kinds of shops in the world. Is your specific vocation to be a shopkeeper who's selling hardware or pet food or baked goods? Because that matters. We got to figure out exactly what God has said. This is what's in your heart. If you're going to be a teacher, well, it's a big difference between teaching elementary school and teaching high school seniors. If you're going to be a mechanic, are you going to be working on a sewing machine or a jet engine? So we've all, over the years, heard the voice telling us, out in the world, there's something that is yours. It's got your name on it, and you need to listen and make that the thing that drives the work that you do to the glory of God. Okay, so let's take that. So we know that it makes sense, and let's shift it over also into this idea that we have been anointed, not just to our work in the world, but to the work of bringing the good news, of proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, of preaching to the captives, bringing sight to the blind. That's a big abstract bundle of things that that all need to be done, but no one can do all of them. And so we've also, in our lives of being disciples of Jesus, we've got to have that same discerning as we prayerfully think, well, what is it that God has given me to do in that big bundle of things that Jesus wants done? And that's where Paul was when he adds to what we learned from Jesus in Luke last week. Now we go to Paul in 1 Corinthians, and he's talking about the many parts of the body of Christ. And we talk about the body of Christ, and that's sort of a big, broad concept. The church is understood as the body of Christ. We are a body when we get together. But he takes that idea of a body literally and says, well, it's just like a human body. You got hands, you got feet, you got eyes and ears. And you wouldn't be complete without every single one. So he has... He's calling us to discern, to listen to the Spirit talking to us about what exactly can I do. And he's going so far as to say that the Spirit has appointed all of those things that are part of what makes our mission out to the world possible. Spirit has appointed, has narrowed down that anointing, has said, you've got, to each of us, you've got something that really nobody else can do. And the body of Christ, the ministry of the church is going to be missing if you don't do the part that you're supposed to do. And he's also talking a little bit about maybe some jealousy within everybody. You know, everybody would like to be the head and make all the decisions, the eyes to see everything. Say, no, we need every single part. And it all combines to make the one body. So we're being told by Paul that we are appointed, having been anointed, now appointed to specifically the skills that we should be honing and that we should be trying to use to our very best ability. We've been appointed to do those things, and that's part of what it means to fulfill our anointing. If we don't pay attention to that, if we try to, everybody has a lot of different things we can do, and it's great to learn to do new things, but if we try to go to the point that we're doing something just because it makes us feel like we're more important, but some vital thing is not being done where we've left it undone, then we're not honoring the anointing, which determines everything for us. So, second part of what we're learning in these few weeks, we found out that Jesus' anointing is for each one of us. And we found out that the Spirit, when each of us was placed here, each of us a dream in the mind of God for what each individual life is going to be able to do in the span of time that's allotted to us, we each are appointed to particular things. And it's so important that we find out, well, what can I do? And of course, it changes over the years, and we have more energy and less energy, and we adapt those things. But everybody has a word of encouragement to give to somebody else. Everybody has a word of teaching to give to somebody else to make what Jesus envisioned continued through our generation to the next generations into the future as far as the Lord decides that we should all be here. Next week we're going to find out how we actually get our job assignments. That's the calling part, but we'll just enjoy this for a week, knowing that that anointed and appointed, we're ready for the word that says, and now this is where you go. Amen. And to say what we believe, let us stand together and use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, let us serve one another with whatever gift each of us has received. Blessed are you, God of all creation.
Through your goodness, we have given this
prayer. Accept and use our offerings for your glory.
And for the service of your kingdom.
Amen. On our way to this table, which Christ has laid out for us, take a moment to think about the things that are on our hearts and prayer in this community. During this past week, we continue to be in prayer with Melanie Johnston and her family. Melanie had her first chemo treatment this past week, and it went well, and she's feeling good from it, and has another one coming up next week. So as those treatments continue, we keep her and her family in our prayers. We continue to join Joy Tyler in praying for her sister Debbie and family. Debbie's husband Mike was transferred to Duke on Wednesday, but things were a little bit touch and go at the beginning of the time, but they figured out exactly how to approach helping him get well, and they are cautiously seeing a little bit of a sign of optimism, so we're grateful for that. We continue to keep them in our prayers. During the week, we were joined, Eddie and Charlene Todd, being very concerned about their son-in-law, Cameron McCreary, who had been airlifted to the trauma hospital down in Columbia from their home in Lancaster, South Carolina. They determined that the situation was not, they got him stabilized, not as nearly as serious as they had thought. He was having some problems because of getting over a serious knee operation, but he was released. He's home. He's improving, it's a good news heading the right direction story. And we join prayers of thanksgiving with Eddie and Charlene and their family. We continue to join with Dina Salvo in remembering the people of Ukraine. Dina has friends from there, and reminds us that it's a very hard time for them and the strife of their region of the world. We do keep them in our prayers. Word came at the end of the week that Sam Shannon had died on Thursday night. Sam was the husband of Melinda Shannon, who was so much a part of this congregation and of the choir for many, many years. The funeral, of course, Sam, as we know, was part of the Roman Catholic Church, and when we know about the funeral arrangements for him, we'll be sure that that goes out to everybody this week. We had been in prayer with the Cashin family and the Springs family for their friend Bobby Cobb, neighbor here in the community, who was stricken by a massive heart attack a couple weeks ago. Bobby died this past week. His funeral service was yesterday at Durham Memorial Baptist Church. Word from Marlon Faust asking us to remember and continue to keep his sister Dana Craig who in prayer. She's beginning treatment for breast cancer. We continue to pray with Eddie and Jan Chapman for the mother-in-law of their daughter Carrie. That's Miss Sarah Stone, who's going to be having surgery week after next at Duke Hospital. And we pray with our friends from the Renovatus Church who worship down in the CFC. Their pastor, Reed Harris, has an infection and needs our prayers. Many, many things and things that we all know of. We are grateful that there's a place where we can come and be served by Jesus and know that all of these prayers are being heard and being heeded. So we come now to this table. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south to sit at table in God's kingdom. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. So this is indeed the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. Let us join in the opening words of the great prayer of thanksgiving that you find in the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift your hearts unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of life, your majesty and power, your continued blessings, and your great goodness fill us with wonder. We are unworthy of the pardon you have in mercy given. We can bring only our thanks, putting our trust in your Christ, who alone saves us from evil. And therefore, in joy, with prophets, apostles, martyrs, and saints of every time and place, we join in giving you praise as we speak these words together. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of glory, in thanks we remember how Jesus broke bread and gave the cup to make us partakers of his body and blood, so that he might live in us and we in him. God of mercy, in thanks we remember how Jesus invites us to this table, imprinting on our hearts his sacrifice on the cross. In gratitude, we bow before the righteous one, whose resurrection and glory we declare, whose prayers alone make us worthy to partake of this spiritual meal. Almighty God, we pray you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we receive bread and wine, we may be assured that Christ's promise in these signs will be fulfilled. Eternal Lord, lift our hearts and minds on high, for with Christ and with the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, now and forevermore. We ask you to be with us as we pray the prayer which Jesus has given to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When our Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes again." We again will come forward to receive the elements. I'll be handing out pieces of the bread, and I'm going to put on this glove for sanitation's sake for all of us, and taking one of the small cups and taking those back to the seats with us so that we can share together. We'll come forward on this aisle and make the circle around these folks coming this way and over here going to the back and coming up and being able to receive in that way. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us receive them now, for all things are ready.